The Lord didn't He didn't laden the church down with rituals and ordinances. We just have basically just very small things that He told us to remember, and this is one of them. And I wanted to look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. It says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take ye, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." This is a serious ordinance, and it belongs to the children of God, those that have been saved, that have given their hearts and their lives to the Lord, that have been born again and have a testimony. And those that are not saved probably shouldn't partake of this ordinance. We don't want to partake of something unworthily. It's for the redeemed. It's been for those that have been born again. But He said, as often as you do it in remembrance of Me. I want us to think just a moment that Jesus, you know, He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God, but I want us to remember that He had flesh and blood, just like you and I have flesh and blood. He had the seed born of the seed of the woman. He had the Spirit of God. He was the Son of God, but He also had flesh and blood, which meant that He felt things that you and I feel. He had emotions. He felt rejection. He felt despised. He felt... you remember the time when a lot of His people turned away from Him and decided not to walk with Him, and then He turned to His 12 and He said, "Are you going to go away also?" You know, He felt all those things just like you and I as a person would feel. One of the hardest things is, I think, for humans to feel is rejection. We like to be loved. We like to be accepted as people, as individuals. And most of the time we come up in homes where we felt loved and accepted and appreciated. But rejection is something that's very difficult to withstand and bear. And there's a lot of pressure in society today. Peer pressure, you've heard that word. And many times people give up things that they know are not right, that they know or they'll let down to try to fit in with the group to be accepted. And there's a lot of pressure on us in our world today to let down on truth and let down on the ways of righteousness to try to fit in and try to be accepted in the world. But we must set our heart and our face that regardless of whatever the cost might be, We want to be faithful to God and to the convictions that He gives to us. And the Lord gave us that example. He was faithful through all of His trial, the 3.5 years of His ministry and the coming down to the very end of it. And He was rejected by the elders and the chief priests. But he went through all of that rejection. And I want to read a scripture in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, in the 1st verse. I'm sorry, Colossians 2 and 15. Colossians 2 and 15. It says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." I want to say to the world, it looked like maybe Christ failed and it looked like maybe the world won. But Christ, it started, you remember, in the garden when He went to the garden. And I'm not saying just the garden, but His whole life was focused and He was looking forward to this time. Not in a fleshly sense, but He recognized that that's what He came into the world for, was to offer Himself. And as it drew near, when He went into the garden, His flesh began to feel the pangs of death and rejection and the things that was laying ahead of Him. And He prayed. We see Him in the garden praying. And He said, "Father, if this cup, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me." And then it said He went further and prayed again, and praying the same thing, "Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from Me." And He went and prayed again further. Have you been in those times in your life when maybe you've prayed, but you just didn't feel like you quite had what you needed? And so you go pray a little bit more, and you consecrate a little bit more, and you submit and humble yourself further down. That's what Jesus was doing. Until the third time, He was able to commit Himself. And I want to say, there are going to be times when we feel this type of pressure. We're not bearing the sins of the world. But you and I, the Scriptures tells us that we have a cross to bear also. And there's going to be times when the pressure is there, when the humiliation is in front of us, when the rejection is before us. And Lord, help us at those times to be willing to humbly consecrate ourselves unto God and be willing to fulfill the will of God in our lives and to set our face that way. And I believe Jesus did that. He prayed until He settled it. He prayed until He prayed through. He prayed until... And then after that, He said, "Arise, let us go hence." He was ready to meet whatever the enemy possessed Him or was going to put in front of Him. And you and I can find that same victory today when you and I humble ourselves and we seek God and we consecrate and we yield. The Lord will give us the strength to be able to face all the powers of darkness, just like He did Christ. But He said He made a show of them openly. You know, our Lord was triumphant in His trial. When He was brought before Pilate and He was falsely accused before all those people. How is it to be falsely accused? Is that just something easy to bear when people falsely accuse us of doing something that we didn't do? There's a temptation to want to claim our own innocence and to try to prove our point and try to make ourselves clear. But Jesus didn't do that. He withstood those accusations, those false accusations that came against Him. Oh, Christ was much more of a man than Pilate. You know, Pilate, he had all of his soldiers around about him. And he told the Lord, he said, "Don't you know I have power to take your life?" He felt like he was in a place of authority, but he had all this company around him. But you know, Pilate couldn't stand when the pressure was on. When they were saying, "Crucify," Pilate knew it was wrong. His wife came to him and said, "You don't have anything to do with this innocent man. I've suffered many things from a dream that she had." And she said, "Don't have anything to do." But when the pressure, when the people began, and he had all those people with him, he gave in to what was wrong. He gave in to that public pressure. Jesus, on the other hand, had nobody standing with him. The Scripture tells us in prophecy that he would tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. His disciples, they didn't have the strength to stand with him because God didn't give it. It was designed that he would face that by himself. And when the accusations came, and the spit, they spit in his face, and they mocked him, he didn't answer a word. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't get carnal. He didn't fight back. He didn't put people in their place. And this was the Lord of glory. This was the Creator. You know, the Scriptures bear out that He was the Creator of the earth. He was the Creator. He breathed. He gave man life. He put this all together. He was the owner. And yet He humbled Himself to face all of those things. Lord, help us. Strengthen us to face opposition. Help us not to cave in when the pressure is on, when the temptation is near at hand. Help us to be able to stand strong, just like He did. Strong to what we believe. Strong for principle and convictions. Lord, help us in our day and time to be strong and to be what He wants us to be. But it said He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Oh, the Lord had a quiet strength about Him, didn't He? He had a quiet demeanor. Pilate just marveled at Him. It said part when He didn't answer to all of His accusations and they were going to put Him to death, it said that Pilate marveled. He had never seen such strength. Such fortitude. You know, God is able to help us and give us strength in our lives also by His Spirit to be what He's calling us to be. He triumphed. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And He went to the cross. And He bore that cross. And He carried that cross. And they drove the spikes in His hand. And the crown of thorns that was upon His brow. And they hung Him up there for all the world to view, to see. And He was faithful to it. He endured, despising the shame, because He had something in mind. And that was us. He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for you and I today. Let's not forget in our busy age, in our busy world today, the great sacrifice, the great price that Christ paid for our salvation. If we've been saved, the freedom that we enjoy from sin. I'm thankful today that I gave my heart to the Lord when I was young. The Lord has spared me many hardships, many heart cries. When I look out into the world today and I see all the broken homes and I see all the battered lives and I see all the bruises of Satan and all the places that people are entrapped and ensnared, it's because of the blood that we're not there. It's because of the blood that was shed for us that we can have new life and that we can live victoriously in our homes and our families and be what God is calling us to be. Let's not ever think for a moment that it's our own abilities. Let's not ever think that it's something that we did within ourselves. It's through the precious blood of Jesus that we're able to be saved and to make heaven our home today. I think about Brother Austis's dad. I love that story so well. When he was on his deathbed and he was facing God and facing eternity and been a minister for many years and done a lot of things and served a lot of people. And Brother Austis asked him and said, "Dad, how does it look?" In his last moments, how does it look? And what did he say? That's our ticket today. It's not earned. You don't earn it. It's because the price was paid for us. It's the mercy of God, the love of God. Brother Rich talked about the love of God. I can't take it all in, folks. It's deeper. It's deeper than what I can take in. That the Creator, He could have called 12 legions of angels. And He told Pilate, He said, "You would have no power at all over me if it were not given to you from above." He could have called 12 legions of angels and got Him out. But He didn't do it. And it was for you and me. And it was for what we enjoy today. This is also, to me, the place of victory this morning. Yes, He suffered. He died. But His sufferings are over now. He raised from the dead. And right now, He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. This is also a place of victory today. We want to remember that He overcame, and the victory that we have is because of the victory that He had and that He's given to us. That He took the bread, broke it. This is unleavened bread. Leaven, different places in the Scriptures, represents pride. It represents being lifted up. I remember Dad Husky, when he was going into the mission field, he was praying and knowing which way to go, whether to I believe it was to go to a school to take training. But anyway, the Lord spoke to him and he said, stay with the people that will wash your feet. That was the answer he got. Stay with the people that will wash your feet. You know, there is, and that's one thing that I appreciate about the people of God, the saints that I have known, is the humility. It's not like that in the world. But I believe this is what the Bible teaches us. It's a place of humility. Humble obedience to God and to His Word. He took the bread, He broke it, He blessed it. This represents the body of Christ that was bruised and broken for us. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You today for the body that You possessed while You were here on this earth. You had flesh and blood just like we have flesh and blood. You felt sorrow, You felt pain. The Scripture said You were a man of sorrows and You were acquainted with grief. You felt everything that we feel. And we thank You, Lord, for taking upon You the humble place of a servant and becoming human like us, that You could feel and experience and know, Lord, what we can experience, and that You understand when we're in trouble. You understand our grief. You understand broken hearts and broken lives. You understand, dear God, what it means to be human. And we thank You that You were willing, Lord, to offer Your body up for us. We pray, Lord, today that You'd help us to offer our lives up to You. You're worthy, Lord, of our service. You're worthy of our time, our energies, our thoughts, our strength, our health. You're worthy, Lord, of all that we can bestow and give You. Lord, we want You to help us to be better servants. Teach us how to give of ourselves. Lord, in a world that teaches such contrariness, in a selfish world, help us to learn how to give of our own selves. Help us to know how to carry our cross, we pray. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Said He took the cup and blessed it. This represents the blood that was poured out for our transgression. The Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could cleanse humankind from sins. The sacrifice has to be able to meet the need of the debt. Let's bow our heads again. Lord, thank You for the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, it's what will take us through. It's what brought forgiveness and mercy into our lives. And we thank You so much, Lord, today that You were willing to hang there on the cross and to let Your blood be spilt out upon the ground. Thank You for that blood. Thank You, Lord, that it still has power in 2015 to bring redemption and forgiveness, Lord, to the heart of man. Thank you for the precious blood today. Help us to ever cherish it. Help us, Lord, to hold it dear to our hearts. Help us to respect and to honor, Lord, the precious blood of Christ. More precious than all of this world. More precious, Lord, than all the gold and silver and all the things that this life can afford. The precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, we look forward to one day being able to see You face to face and to behold You and to thank You, dear God, for that precious blood that You shed on Calvary's Hill for us. Bless us all this day as we partake of this. We recognize, Lord, that we're in agreement with Your life and what You taught. And we partake of it, we're saying that we believe in You and that we've given ourselves to You. We fellowship, Lord, Your life, Your suffering, Your ways, Your commandments. Oh Lord, please write Your laws upon the table of our hearts. Bless us this day. In Jesus' name.